From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. From Woody Guthrie to Bob Dylan, the United States has a long tradition of the protest song. Music writer Charles R. Cross places Bruce Springsteen's angry new album Wrecking Ball in that context. Charles R. Cross's long list of writing credits includes the 1989 bestseller about Bruce Springsteen called Backstreets. He's also written biographies, the definitive biography, I would say, on Kurt Cobain, Heavier Than Heaven, and Room Full of Mirrors, a biography of Jimi Hendrix, and an upcoming history of Heart. He was the editor of the finally remembered Seattle music magazine, The Rocket. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ross. Love to be here.
So a lot of the critics are saying that Wrecking Ball is a protest album, and not that Bruce Springsteen has not expressed dissatisfaction with the condition of the United States before, but this is even a harder-edged condemnation of greed and selfishness in America in this era. What's your talk on it?
I think that somewhat that's true. I mean, you know, you can't have watched what's happened in America in the last 10 years, certainly to the economy, and not be angry. And, you know, Bruce has always written about the plight of the working man, so to speak, in America. Those are the themes that are even back as far as Darkness on the Edge of Town in 1978. But looking what's happened in the last 10 years, you can't help but be angry. I don't know whose line it is, but there's the line, if you're bright, you're angry. And there is a lot of that in this music. You know, this is an angry album. It sounds angry, and the lyrics are angry. And Bruce himself, when you listen to it, it's you absolutely can hear that there's fury in his voice.
I hear less poetry and more just bang. He's really going directly at what he's critical of.
Yes, I agree. And to some degree, though, I kind of miss a little of the poetry.
Me too.
There is, I think it's a powerful album, but I don't know if it's as poetic as his best work. It doesn't rank in the very top for me for that reason, almost because he's too overwhelmed by the emotions of what he's writing about. It's back to the old writerly trick, show, don't tell. And in this album, Bruce is telling. He's telling you what's wrong with America. In some of the earlier records, he's showing you the fabric of what is distorted.
And in the first single off of it, it's less angry and more a pleading to our better selves.
Yeah, this first single is more almost sarcastic, you know, everything from the title on.
That's from Bruce Springsteen's new album, Wrecking Ball, We Take Care of Our Own. You think he's being a little sarcastic there?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. You know, anyone with a brain realizes when he says Super Bowl, he's talking about the reaction to Hurricane Katrina. But it's also, to me at least, about veterans returning home and the lack of care we've put into that. We spent so much money on the wars, but we spent so little money on the people and the results of that. And that is had some serious negative effects on our society. So Bruce is trying to say that in kind of a veiled way there. What's weird and what sort of is a little bit odd about this album is that he contrasts that very, very clear message with kind of a lilty pop, which is what the song sounds like. it's not exactly what you'd expect. And to some degree, it's both effective in that way because it's not strident, but at the same time, it's a little off-putting that we're humming along to a song that's sarcastic. It
sure.
kind of reminds me in that way of Nirvana's Rape Me, which is a horrific song about a brutal thing, and yet it's a jilty pop song that you find yourself listening to it in the car and singing along to it.
Can it be a protest song if it's not a singer with an acoustic guitar and a harmonica?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Born in the USA is a great example of that, you know. But we traditionally think of protest music coming out of the folk music of the late 50s and 60s, the Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger tradition. But to me, Lead Belly is protest music. He's not on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, but you listen to the what's in that music and you understand it's railing against something that's wrong.
Well, as Bruce Springsteen has said in the speech he gave at South by Southwest, he liked the pink Cadillac too much. He liked the trappings of rock and roll too much to be maybe a protest singer in the tradition of his predecessors. But he liked those things. But he does write one of the songs on this new album, which I really liked a lot because it's in the voice of Giant Stadium. He's like he's speaking as though he is a stadium.
Yeah, that's Wrecking Ball. That's the title track. And, you know, anybody in New Jersey, every shrine in New Jersey is a shrine to Bruce Springsteen. And, of course, this song is the title track. And I thought it was a little odd when there already was another album by Emmylou Harris that was great called Wrecking Ball that Bruce would decide to title an album that. But he did, and it's a great song. It's one of my favorite songs on the album.
I'm a home fit. Grow big as airplanes. Here where the blood is spilled, the arena's filled, giants play games. So raise up your glasses, let me hear your voices come. It's tonight all the dead are here, so bring on your wrecking ball, bring on your wrecking.
You know, it's a beautiful atmospheric song. It kind of reminds me of Secret Garden. There's a lot of that same kind of string background. This album is a musical mishmash, though. That's the one thing that to me, maybe it, one reason it doesn't rank, in my critical opinion, with one of his greatest records. He's experimenting with so many different sounds that there isn't the cohesion. You listen to Born to Run or Darkness on the Edge of Town or what I think is Bruce's last great masterpiece, which is Tunnel of Love, and there is more of a musical cohesion. Here there are songs that are that have gospel influences and they're traditional pop songs. And then there's this, which is kind of the lilting pop that Bruce has specialized in for a while. So consequently, maybe the record as a whole misses with me and, you know, the point of the trident.
Sure.
But it sure got some great, you know, prongs.
Well, where would you place him kind of in the constellation of protest songs? He's not a pure protest singer, but I think of stuff like the Jefferson Airplane and the song Volunteers. They're clearly pop rock songs, but they have an element of subversion kind of embodied in them. Where do you place him in there?
Well, I absolutely place him as one of the modern protest songwriters, but I agree with you. It's in the subversion. There's a song that we're going to play here, which is, you know, one of Bruce's best well-known songs, and, you know, maybe we play that and then let me talk about the history of that. Let's play a little bit of Born in the USA if she can.
Can we get Born in the USA? We got it. The huge hit hijacked by the
biggest hit. So 25 million copies.
Hijacked by the Reagans.
Exactly. And, you know, if you went and saw Springsteen in concert, you saw yahoos with the sleeves off their shirts pumping their big fist in the air going, yes, patriotic, Born in the USA. The song is about Vietnam, and the song ultimately is about the lack of, again, it's similar to the theme of what we were talking about earlier with We Take Care of Our Own. You know, what you grow up in, what you're faced in this America where you can't control the policies of the government and people are sent to foreign lands to die. But nobody got that because it was put in this music. Well, when Bruce first wrote the song, he wrote it as an acoustic song, and there are a number of versions of that that have come out over the years, and occasionally he has played it on tour that way. It sounds entirely different.
There's no mistaking it for
no
the way
mistaking
that people,
it for
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
What people forget is with Bruce, there's so many other sides of him. You know, the album Born in the USA, when he originally put that album together, his intention was the song cycle that might have been ended up with the title Murder Incorporated, and it was going to have a very dark film noir theme that is not the Born in the USA that came out, that has Darlington County and Dancing in the Dark and all these pop upbeat songs. So here's a man whose songwriting is very complex. It's hard to take any one song and make that be the thing you think of when you think of Bruce Springsteen. If you think Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA,
yeah,
you don't know half of, you know, what he's written.
Well, one of the interpretations of the new album Wrecking Ball is that maybe he learned a lesson from the way that Born in the USA was hijacked, and that he made the lyrics on the new album more explicitly political so that people couldn't kind of be singing along to it and thinking it was just a pop song. Do you think he succeeded at that?
Well, I think I do agree with you. I think that's what he did. Personally, I think artistically that was somewhat of a mistake, as we said before. I think it works better in the poetry of it. You know, when Reagan did take over, you know, some of Bruce's songs, he then went on stage one of those nights and played his great song Badlands and said, "I don't think President Reagan's been listening to this one lately." That's the way I think the message is better said. I think when it's less explicit, it's more powerful. To me, the best protest songs are the ones that everybody knows. What we were talking before we went on the air about Curtis Mayfield. You know, his songs are not that explicit, but you listen to those songs and you know, people get ready. You know, it's there. Nobody can listen to that and not get it.
And lots of echoes of People Get Ready from Curtis Mayfield in this song from the new Springsteen album.
Is this dream? Carry saints and sinners is dream. Carries losers and workers is dream. Carries whores and gamblers is dream. Carries lost souls. I said this dream.
Land of Hope and Dreams off the new Bruce Springsteen album. We're talking about him as a protest singer with Charles R. Cross, the music writer. What are your thoughts on that song?
I love that song. Bruce has been playing that song for a couple tours. It's been the thing that it's kind of ended his show. And it is very Curtis Mayfield-like. It's a great kind of warm, rousing gospel-influenced song, which is what all the greatest rock and roll songs are. So it kind of pulls that back into, we're at a carnival here, we're all gathering together. To some degree, that's what Born to Run does at the end of Bruce's shows as well. But that, I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs on the album.
You know, Springsteen is a legacy artist, and he'll probably be as famous as he wants to be as long as he's able to produce creative albums, and he shows no sign of not doing that anymore. But is he relevant musically today? He's certainly tweaked his sound a bit over the years, but fundamentally not so much. What do you think?
I do think he's relevant today. I think one of the things that almost surprises me is that there were times where I was, you know, carrying the cross, so to speak, of Bruce Springsteen. You know, this guy's so great. You got to listen to his songs. And, you know, over the years, all these young artists have found him in a way that you never. I mean, Eddie Vedder and Bruce Springsteen are pretty good friends. I mean, there's a great respect that he, you know, commands from all these young songwriters, people that you know, 20 years ago, when Bruce was out there, it would have been considered uncool. But now many of these young artists have an incredible respect for him. He is definitely one of the elder statespeople. And that speech that we played part of earlier, I mean, you hear the intelligence in that. He understands and has a sense of humor about himself as well. And that's wonderful to watch.
And a great speech maker. The cadences, the repeated lines, really a wonderful talker. I know you want to talk about a song of his called Roulette. I'm not familiar with that song. How do you think that fits into what we're talking
about? Well, I think what's interesting about Roulette is it shows the change in Bruce Springsteen. Bruce played in 1979 at the No Nukes appearance in New York City at the No Nukes benefit. It's right around the time The River came out. And so he had written this great song called Roulette. That was about the Three Mile Island meltdown. And he goes to No Nukes, and he doesn't play Roulette. The political song he's written about nuclear power, he doesn't play. Instead, he debuts The River, which is an unbelievable song and a beautiful song, but it's not political. Up through 1980, Bruce didn't want to be political on stage. That only shifted in the later 80s. So what's fascinating about this song is that somebody wrote this song, I think it's one of his best songs ever, and didn't release it until 20 years later, and I hope I play a small role, because every time I ever ran into Bruce, I harassed him to release Roulette. It's one of your greatest songs, so here it is.
You left the toys out in the yard. I took my wife and kids and I left my home unguarded. In fact, we could into the car.
So there's no mistaking that song. You know, I mean, the driving force of that, you know, there's a nuclear meltdown. I'm grabbing my kids and running, you know. Mm. He wrote that song in, you know, 20 years before he released it officially,
sure.
Which is amazing to think about. So.
You also wanted to play something that I don't associate with politics at all, and maybe that's partly why you wanted to play it, Incident on 57th Street from one of his earlier albums and kind of a wonderful urban portrait. How do you see that as fitting into what we're talking about?
It doesn't fit in. I was just asked, what's my favorite Bruce Springsteen song? This is my favorite Bruce Springsteen song, or one of them.
Could let that go for quite some time.
It's quite long.
Yes.
It's popular on FM radio stations because the DJ gets a 12-minute break when they play it. But when you even listen to the sound of that, it doesn't sound. You can't imagine that singer ever doing a protest song.
Yes.
Or ever being driven. And that's 1974. And it's the romantic West Side Story kind of Bruce Springsteen. And that's my favorite.
Charles R. Cross, thank you so much for stopping by today.
We really
appreciate it.
Well, they blew up a chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house, too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state. And the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth. Well, now everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair pretty, and meet me tonight.